Hello and welcome to yet another episode of Radio Free Nintendo. I am your host, Evan Birchfield. I'm only your host for this week because Mike Sklenz is out. I think he's counting ballots in Florida or something. Either way, I'm joined by our one of our favorite staffers, John Lindemann. John Lindemann is also known as Silks.
Hey, Birch. It's great to be here.
Yeah, welcome. So, Lindemann, how long have you been on the staff with Planet GameCube?
Well, I've been on staff since, I think this run has been since, I think, around 2003, maybe. But, I mean, I've known Johnny for a long time. I was on staff of the 64 Source for a while with Max Lake and those guys, and I was on Nintendojo for a minute. So I've been around. I've probably been actually in the Nintendo scene online since probably about 98 or 99.
Wow, old timer.
Yeah, I'm old timer.
Well, that's absolutely great. How many E3s have you been to?
I think I've been to four now. I've been to 99, I think 2001, and then 2005 and 2006. So.
Really?
Yep.
Well, that's three more than me. I remember it was my first E3, and I had just met all you guys, and all of you guys had dinner, and already, and I was dying of hunger, but the only one who hadn't eaten was you, and mm-hmm. since no one else wanted to go out to dinner, we went out to Denny's, and that was my first moment with any, you were actually the first real staffer I got to know, was hanging out in Denny's, talking about video games. That's a moment. There was a real romantic, I mean, I shouldn't have said romantic just now.
It's okay. It was kind of a Freudian
slip. It was a
slip. It's all right, yeah.
Yeah, whoops. It was.
I wanted to hold your hand, but. I didn't think it was appropriate that time. I just met you.
Yeah. But so I guess since you've been to 43s, that means you've had four illicit encounters with Johnny, though, on record.
Yes,
as far as I know.
I'm one of the few the fortunate few that have also met Mr. Metz outside of E3 as well. We've gone to a couple of concerts because he lives in Alabama and I live in Atlanta, so every once in a while he comes up. So, yes,
Southern folk.
I've seen sides of Mr. Metz that nobody else would want to see, so.
Yeah, the backside.
Hey, you went there, I didn't.
Anyways, whatever. So, we're gonna get started, we're gonna actually podcast, I guess. Mm-hmm. So, the biggest thing that happened this week, of course, is that E3 is getting smaller.
Yeah.
What's up with that? I mean, I'll tell you what, I've only been to one E3, you've got a little bit more experience, you fill me in, but I felt like it was a lot of fluff, there was a lot of really cool things, the fact that it's this big gamer convention, and that it was a lot of fun. But it needed a little bit less.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think after four?
Well, I think I looked at my experience this year at E3, and I think that probably about 95% of the time I was, you know, in Nintendo's booth, and the rest of that time I just, you know, I took one stroll through the PS3 booth and one stroll through the 360 booth. Anybody else was really getting the shaft in terms of, you know, my gaming attention. I wasn't really covering anything else. And I think that with, you know, Sony, Nintendo, and Microsoft, I think they, you know, they really dominate that show. So I think for publishers, I really don't think it's as worthwhile as it used to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, certainly there are small booths on the floor that just get no attention. And as soon as for anybody who got into the Wii booth, there was no real reason to leave because you could wait in line for a game for anywhere from 5 minutes to 30 minutes and then move on to the next one and not be complete. There were, 27 games in there?
Yeah.
Yeah, you could not leave for the whole day. And then come back, you could probably spend the whole time with Microsoft the next day and then spend the whole time with Sony the next day. And what are you left with? There's not a lot of time for everybody else.
Yeah, so. I think especially with this E3 where, you know, Nintendo's booth really did dominate the entire show. And, you know, I mean, even I would say that even Sony and Microsoft didn't really get as much out of it as I thought they possibly could have, because I mean they had some pretty great games over there. I mean, you had, you know, Mass Effect and BioShock for the 360. Those are huge games. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and really, I mean, the Wii overshadowed pretty much everything. So I think it was kind of the last straw for a lot of publishers.
By sheer force.
Yeah.
Because it was the amount of games available, and whether they were good or bad, it was more than they ever thought that Nintendo could do.
Mm-hmm.
It was an impressive show for that. And I think that some of this, in getting scaled down in terms of the panache and the extra stuff that's not necessary, I think it might actually scale down some of the hype as well. And in some ways, that will be a good thing. You know, someone commented on, you know, one of the many blogs I read. They said that, well, what does it matter to Nintendo that they won E3, or that, you know, last year Microsoft won E3. It never matters. It has never mattered because it doesn't. Nintendo dominates E3 because they've got style. Mm-hmm. When has it ever really helped them in the past 6 years?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it's. I think where it does matter is when you get the bigger news outlets like CNN.com. You know, if somebody who really doesn't follow video games like we follow video games goes to CNN.com and sees, oh, Nintendo won the show, then that's meaningful because, you know, they don't really sit there and interpret the news like we do. You know?
Yeah.
So I think that's where it does matter.
I see your point there. I guess that's because as the gaming world, a lot of the developers are talking about, a lot of the big three are talking about expanding the market, at least Microsoft and Nintendo are talking about expanding the market and keeping it open to people who aren't just gamers. I guess we have to start thinking in those terms now, whereas before, the gamers were this closed group that you entered when you turned 8 and that you left when you turned 25. And that was it. You know? To those people, it mattered only insofar as whether it made you happy or it made you mad. That was it.
Yeah.
So, E3, I think, is going to be a little bit more meaningful in the end. But, you know, one of the things we saw at E3 was Ubisoft. Ubisoft was out there on the show floor saying, we are supporting Nintendo. And, of course, just in this last week, they had a major announcement, they had a press release announcing 7 Wii games at launch, with many more upcoming up in the months up until March.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty unbelievable. And, I mean, also on top of what the 7 games that they talked about for launch, also Prince of Persia has been thrown in there too. They just confirmed that.
Recently. And that's huge. Mm-hmm. That's so big because if Ubisoft is really in Wii's camp, and I don't want to get onto taking sides. That's not the way I feel about the market. It's just I know that I only have so much time.
Yeah.
I'm a fanboy just because of finances and the way I my time management. So I would much rather be able to. I would never pick up Far Cry, I would never pick up an Xbox for Far Cry at least.
Yeah.
Now that it's going to be available on Wii, I have a chance to.
Yeah.
And other games such as Blazing Angels, and if it's done well, one of these racing games, either GT Pro Series or Monster 4x4 World Circuit, I know I'm going to be picking up Rayman.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty much guaranteed, unless someone reviews it, you know, early review, and it says that it's awful.
Mm-hmm.
And Red Steel, I'm going to give a second chance. I don't think there's any chance for me to touch the 7th one, though, which
yeah.
is open season.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it really bodes well for the Wii launch because... I mean, I don't really care what people say. Not all of those titles necessarily have to be AAA titles. I mean, long as some of those titles are okay, I mean, the most important thing is that you have a broad range of genres, like, for the launch lineup. So, I mean, just because those aren't all necessarily going to be blockbuster titles, somebody out there will buy those games. You know, somebody will say, hey, Mike, that looks like a perfect game for my kid. Maybe they might not want Red Steel, but they'll want something else.
Yeah, I agree. And, What's interesting about this as well is that Ubisoft is releasing 7 games of a very diverse genres.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Nintendo is not going to let Ubisoft release more games than them. At least I don't see them doing that unless they. Well, I mean, if there was a hint of a rumor at Joystick that Mario may be able to make launch.
Yeah.
And can you imagine Mario, Metroid, Zelda? All at launch, plus Wii Sports and anything else that they pull out of their sack, their little sack of goodies, right at launch. Plus, if something like Project Hammer or one of those other second party titles could potentially be released, we're talking about between Ubisoft and Nintendo alone, at least 20 games, if not, or I shouldn't say 20, at least 13 or 14, and then with everything else up to 20 or more.
Yeah, and
this
I
could
think
be a huge launch.
Absolutely. I think that things are really falling out well for Nintendo because, you know, they're doing exactly what they need to do. They're coming with the huge franchise games. They're coming with the Metroid and, you know, Zelda. They're coming with those games, and then they're letting third parties fill in the gaps, and that's something that they haven't had in probably since, I'm not really too familiar with the Super NES launch, but probably since the Super NES launch. It's been a long time.
Super NES. Did you just really say Super NES?
I did. I said Super NES. Now, I don't know. Other Super people say, what, SNES? Is that what? what's, I don't know what the popular PGC pronunciation is.
No. Friend. Let me... NES? Okay, I remember that's actually, if we go back to our first conversation at Denny's, I didn't have the heart to correct you when you said mess. I was like, I thought in my head, did he really just say mess?
I can just see the hate mail flowing in now.
Yeah, it's NES. It's NES. I'm going to just say that right now. Anyways, moving on.
Bloodworth will have a comment about that.
Yeah, on the topic of Wii games that launch from third parties, odd, Mortal Kombat Armageddon has been confirmed for 2007 on Wii.
Yep, and we know what the big question is there. How is this thing going to control?
How?
Yeah.
I can't even begin to fathom. I think what they're going to do is just eschew the motion control altogether and just use the buttons. Have you rest your thumb on the D-pad and use the maybe use the A button and then the two triggers on the left hand. I think that's going to be it. I don't think they're even going to bother with motion control.
Well, I think that for this they have to have some sort of gimmick for the Wii version. So I think that possibly you're going to see maybe, you know, fatalities, you know, using some sort of motion. You know, do something like to rip somebody's spine out, you would knock their head off with the Wii controller and then rip their spine off or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think they're going to have some sort of hook.
Yeah, the problem is that it's a port game. I would love it if they were releasing some sort of Mortal Kombat for Wii only, and they said, we're just redesigning it, we're making a completely violent Mortal Kombat game with Wii in mind. The fact that it's a port, and that we're still talking about the combos and the same fighting style as Mortal Kombat, how do you keep that intact? This is really the question now that we're faced with this new system is, can we keep the former methods intact while still allowing for the innovation? I wouldn't be surprised if they're allowing GameCube control or GameCube controllers or virtual console controller.
Yeah.
Those are both possibilities, but those would be cop-outs, and I don't think Nintendo would let them cop out.
Yeah,
like
I don't
think
they would either. I mean, I think there's definitely going to have to be... I don't know. I think that... Yeah, exactly. I think it would just be a cop-out, and I think that Nintendo's going to try and enforce some sort of something incorporating the Wii controller.
Yeah, and I guess I'm just looking forward to it. I haven't played a good Mortal Kombat game. I shouldn't say I haven't played a good one. I haven't picked up a Mortal Kombat game in at least 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a long time since I've been playing Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, but I mean, I've never been a huge fan of the series, but I would definitely like to see, once this game comes out, you know, the really hardcore fighter fans out there, see how they receive it.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Now, there are hardcore fighting fans. I think I'm turning into, with my recent acquisition, because I'm looking through old GameCube games right now, my recent acquisition of Mario Golf Toadstool Tour.
Oh,
I'm becoming a golf fan. Let's say it's one of those weird genres to become really attached to. It's like, well, why golf?
Oh.
And I don't know if I'd really pick up any other golf games. I loved Mario Golf on the N64, and I'm loving it on GameCube as well. There was news recently that Camelot is maybe putting Nintendo support on the back burner, if you will, because they are going on to make a massively multiplayer PC golf game. And let me just say, there was a quote from the head of Camelot, I suppose, and he said that we're trying to innovate. We're trying to create things that have never been seen before. We're trying to enter a world where we don't just make Mario Golf. And
I guess that they think that this golf game is going to be bigger in Japan than a Nintendo game would be. I mean,
yeah, maybe. But is Mario Golf, were they forced to make Mario Golf at all? I don't see that. I don't see it as though they've, you know, Camelot is so strange to me because they specialize in two things: golf games and Golden Sun.
Yeah.
So, like, the two, these
all
two
using the
completely
same
bizarre.
Engine.
Yeah. I don't understand how they're able to say that they really are pushing for innovation, because that's, at least that's not what I've seen. They specialize, they're good at what they do. If they want to take golf beyond, take it beyond, is massively multiplayer really where golf needs to go?
I don't know. I mean, I can't see them. I don't know, maybe, I mean, I'm not some sort of marketing guru, but I can't see them making more money on that PC game than I can. I don't know how the payment model is set up, but I can't see them making more money on that than they would on a Nintendo game. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and really, I would love to see more innovation in just a Mario Golf game. I don't want them to abandon Mario Golf. I want them to really, it doesn't have to be, as it is, I think that the golf games are too complex, or maybe complex is the wrong word, too skill oriented. Mm-hmm. I think that it's not quite as pick up and play as it should be. It's definitely not Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
How do you make golf work on the level of Smash Brothers, or at least get close to that? Nothing really works on the level of Smash Brothers like Smash Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
The Mario spin-off games are all pretty successful at their respective sports in an arcade way, but never really living up to this whole Mario idea. I always thought Mario Golf and Mario Tennis were on top of it, and I don't know, I'd like to see Camelot push it a little bit further if they're dissatisfied. But
yeah,
they don't have a lot to be dissatisfied with. It's
yeah,
a good game.
I mean, what really disappoints me is the fact that you won't get to see a Mario Golf game done right with the Wii controller. That's
mm-hmm.
what really disappoints me.
Yeah. Did you end up playing... you were the one who played all the Wii Sports games, weren't you?
I played baseball, which was great. I played the golf, which I didn't really have the greatest experience with that because I think I was too close to the TV. You know how the booths got really crowded.
Yeah.
But that was cool. And I also played... I played the plane. And mm-hmm. was there another title?
Oh, it was tennis.
Yes, I played tennis as well.
Okay, so you got them all.
Yep.
The golf one, Mike said was not good. He did not enjoy it. Or someone correct me, one of our staffers was just very anti the golf game, said that it was putting only. But the baseball game is home run derby only.
Yeah.
And then the tennis game is, you know, limited to doubles, I think, even single player. So it's not like they're really offering a lot of variety there.
No, I mean, I think the baseball game was the... I had the most fun with the baseball game, possibly out of any game on the show floor. It was just a really good time. It was probably the best showcase of the Wii controller because you step up to the booth and pick up the controller, and you're like, okay, you know, the controller actually swings the bat. And before you know it, you're actually in a real batting stance trying to, you know, pull the ball and trying to, you know, take it to opposite field. It was really cool.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I regret not playing it. You know, and really looking back, I did not play that many games at E3.
Mm-hmm.
When I was there, in the Wii booth, I really focused on the big stuff and the stuff I had to write about. And by the end of it, a couple podcasts ago, Mike really made fun of me. He dug into me for not playing WarioWare.
Oh, WarioWare's great.
There was a huge crowd. I mean, I figured that it was a long wait. I needed to get to Metroid before the fanboys chewed my head off, which they did while I was in line for Metroid.
But I'm going to say the same thing to you that Obi said. The line for that game went so quickly because the games were over in a minute. So
well, let me just say this, Lindemann. I am so glad that you told me that 2 months later. I really appreciate all the help that you've offered. And, maybe if I ever invent a time machine, I'll go back in time and play the game, and then I'll come back to this podcast and interrupt it and just tell you exactly how I feel.
Hey, Birch, I'm looking out for you. I'm looking out for you.
I appreciate you watching my back. Thanks so much. So Nintendo has something big coming up.
Mm-hmm.
August 23rd, they've got a press conference planned for the Leipzig gaming whatever conference is going on.
Leipzig or Leipzig?
Good question. I don't speak German. I'll go ahead and say I think it. My first intuition was Leipzig,
mm-hmm.
and then after thinking about it for a minute, I was like, maybe Leipzig.
Hmm.
Either way, it's some city in. If I'm wrong, is it in Amsterdam? Is it in?
I don't know.
I really didn't fact check before I decided to bring this up.
We don't check facts here at PGC Podcast.
No. In fact, I made a comment to Blood once that he is actually capable. When he used to do it to me over AIM, but now he does it just in the forum. He will correct all of our errors for us. I actually almost think I want to start a... because people email them to me, too. They say, you know, that's really not true. I don't know what you were thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of want to start a feature where at the beginning of the podcast I apologize for all the mistakes we made in the last one. I feel like that would be appropriate because someone write in, tell us how to pronounce the city, and tell us what country it's in, because I can't be bothered.
What state it's in? Yeah, you'll get some really good mail saying that. But you know, I just think that people are so hung up on the facts. You know, come on.
Yeah.
Come on, people.
Yeah.
Aren't we beyond that?
Just a little bit. We live in an age where whatever we want to be true is true.
Exactly.
So I personally think that it's pronounced Leipzig, and I don't care what your opinion of the truth is. So on August 23rd, we're going to be treated to a press conference from Nintendo, and they've told us that Wii is going to be their main focus. Since this is August 23rd, we're getting very close to September, when they promised that they would actually announce the date. We're thinking there's going to be details. Well, the question is what? Some people are saying video games, some new announcements. Miyamoto has a new IP that has not been spoken of, other than to say that it exists. Could be more details about the virtual console. I think a lot of people are hungry for that, and that's concrete information we need that is not going to be featured in September. I think there's other possibilities, too. You got any ideas?
I mean, what I would like to see is, you know, them elaborate on their online plan for Wii, because we haven't really heard anything about the online plan beyond Wii Connect 24. I mean, we don't even know if, you know, some of the launch games are going to be online enabled. I mean, the only really concrete online stuff that I've heard is that, you know, supposedly Smash Brothers Brawl is supposed to be online. But that's still all kind of murky, you know. There hasn't been any concrete announcements surrounding their online functionality for Wii. So I'd like to see that.
Yeah, I agree. And I really actually want Smash Brothers more than I want maybe any other game, if only because we can replicate the tournament that we had in Johnny's hotel room between all of us. We had a tournament one-on-one, which I lost in the first round to Pale. He was playing as Sheik. Mm-hmm. He announced before we started that every good player in Smash Brothers plays as Sheik. I didn't know this. I picked Samus, and I got really close to beating him after his prideful comment, and then he wasted me in the end. I think he was just stirring it up. The funny thing is that now I've decided to start playing as Sheik. So, well, anyways, I'd like to see that replicated. I'd like to be able to play Johnny or play our readers in Smash Brothers.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to see that too. It'd be great to have that game online above all games. I think gamers have wanted that for years. I mean, I'm looking forward to it, but at the same time, I'm the guy that always gets absolutely thrashed in every Smash Brothers tournament he's ever gone into. So it's kind of bittersweet for me. It's like, yep, I want it to be good, but you know what? I'm not really going to be part of that party, so.
Yeah. I feel the same way. I'm right in the same camp with you. However, I feel like I've got a chance to get better when I play these people who know. Like one time I complimented Johnny on one of his moves that he did to get back onto the stage, and he said, "Well, thank you, but that's really not an advanced maneuver at all. I mean, that's all I'm capable of, but I've seen some pretty impressive things that you couldn't shake a stick at." And I'm like, what kind of a world do these people live in that know all these advanced maneuvers that can do things with Morph Ball bombs that would blow your mind?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen Johnny play, and he just carves up the competition. I don't even bother playing him.
Yeah, he doesn't. And TYP actually is pretty murderous, too.
Yeah.
So, anyways, enough of Smash Brothers. Leipzig, as I've now christened it, I think that the city's conference needs for Nintendo to paint the town. They need to, if they've got any sort of international appeal, they need to start spreading the word around that. You know, it's interesting, because while in L.A., it didn't feel like a lot of people in L.A. were aware that E3 was going on, unless they had walked by the convention center.
Yeah, I mean, I think that might, you know, go further to the whole point of, you know, E3 being scaled down, is the fact that, you know, I mean, it had become a really hardcore gamer, you know, event. Kind of thing, you know, sort of like you know, I think of it, it's probably not even as mainstream as, say, the San Diego Comic-Con, you know?
Yeah, probably not. Yeah, and it's funny that they're saying that Penny Arcade Expo may end up replacing E3, at least for a Seattle show, and then if we've got the real E3 down in L.A., Game Developers Conference, which I believe is being held in San Francisco next year. I don't know if they're always in San Francisco. And then there's the potential for something to open up in New York, or there's a lot of things going on. There's a lot of developers in Texas. So the idea of a lot of conferences throughout the year, actually, I think is appealing.
Yeah. The one thing I will miss about E3, though, is having that Super Bowl of video game shows.
Yeah.
I miss that.
Absolutely. And it was like at the end of the show, people were already saying, well, gotta wait till next year, because it was the event.
Yeah.
And maybe that, maybe it's good. Maybe we won't, we don't have to have Christmas anymore.
Yeah.
Leipzig is another one of those shows. It will probably not replace E3. It will probably get a little bit bigger because there will be more people around. It's going to cater to the international audience, although there's plenty of people in L.A. in May that are from other countries. I met someone actually from Germany in line for Metroid, and he and I talked for while we were waiting for that half hour. And he was actually, I think he was one of the developers. What's so funny? What are you laughing at?
That half hour line, you know?
That half hour line
make,
for Metroid.
Making what? Buddies. You know, yeah, during that half hour, you know, because I was there for, it was actually probably an hour, but I was asleep for about half of it, so I figured it was half an hour.
Did you? How long did you have to wait for Metroid?
I waited for Metroid. I waited a very long time. I think I waited. I think I waited in line with TYP. A bunch of us waited in line, and we were there for probably 45 minutes. Super Mario was even worse. Mario Galaxy.
Really?
Yeah, Mario Galaxy. I was in line for an hour. It was crazy.
I did not have to wait that long for Mario Galaxy, but thank goodness.
Yeah, well, I played them on the last day, so that's everybody. Oh, yeah. Was, yeah, it was crazy.
Last day was murder.
Yep.
So if there's anything else that Nintendo might announce it at Leipzig, it's it, other than games, online strategy, virtual console, I don't know what else it could be. It's there's people saying, oh, there's more secret features. There's more things that they didn't show. There's the potential for this controller to have another thing, and... is that going to happen? I'm going to go ahead and say I wouldn't put it past them. I think that they may think that they've got a stranglehold, or I shouldn't say stranglehold. They have the that no one's really aware that that people are going to be storing profiles in the remote, even though that got leaked during E3, and that people were already theorizing about that. People know it's going to happen. Your Wii Tennis character is going to be able to transfer over to any other game you play. You're going to have a profile set with your colors, your favorite music, all of that, and it'll all play whenever you play the game. Big deal. If they think that's their last announcement, if that's their big deal at the end, then that's not gonna shock anybody.
Yeah, I mean, I can't see them doing much more on the hardware end because, I mean, the Wii, as has been reported, it's already been sent to manufacturing. So,
yeah, you know,
I mean, they're not going to be throwing in hardware changes right now.
No,
I mean,
probably not.
Maybe. I mean, I'm not too sure what the lag was between, you know, the end of E3 and when they sent them into manufacturing. But, I mean, you got to think that what we were seeing at E3 was pretty much the final build. Aside from
I'm
maybe.
Hoping that they did redesign. There's a couple things that needed redesigning. And, of course, it took the things that we saw at E3, as we mentioned before, were actually different. The items, the virtual console controller and actually the remote itself, were different from the press materials that were given to us on disc at E3. Mm-hmm. And they told us that the actual physical units were more up to date, which is maybe backwards, but that's what they said. Mm-hmm. I'm holding out hope that they're really redesigning the remote so that the D-pad is not so far away, because every developer is using the D-pad as their main control.
Yeah.
And that's stupid unless it's in a different position. Mm-hmm. I cannot get behind it, and I might end up not liking playing the Wii because of it.
That's a pretty bold statement.
I'll tell you what, there wasn't a single game that used the D-pad that I didn't struggle with.
Yeah.
Not a single one. There were plenty of other games. I mean, Mario didn't use it at all, and I had no problem. That was about the very first game I played, and I was like, this is awesome. This is great, you know? So I'm hoping that if anything, at Leipzig, I think that, you know, if Iwata or whoever's doing the conference, just giving the keynote, holds up the remote again, someone's going to take that photo, zoom in on it, tell us what's different on the remote, maybe something... I don't know. Could be that they're packaging what they got at E3. They thought the press was good enough, and they're not going to change anything.
Yeah.
That could very well be it. Plus, you know, we still don't know when it's going to release.
Yeah. I mean, I'm expecting, I mean, at Leipzig, I'm expecting maybe a couple of more tidbits of information, something to, you know, just kind of string the press along. And then I'm thinking Tokyo Game Show is going to be where they're going to unveil everything.
Didn't they say that they weren't going to be a part of Tokyo Game Show? Or did I hear that crazy? Am I making that up?
I didn't hear that.
Fact checking. We're recording. I can't go and just like take a moment to go look.
Facts.
Someone. I'll have to go correct this on the main page once we're done.
Here you are with facts again. This podcast is no place for facts.
Yeah, absolutely not. Well, it's not like people are listening to get their news. They're listening to hear us berate the news and each other.
Yeah. Yes.
So,
more importantly, the, yes.
So the final thing I wanted to discuss is the release date for Wii. Mm-hmm. We don't know when it is. I've got a pretty good idea. Pale's wanting to put money, or at least I want to put money with him. He's saying November 19th, no one can question. I think that he's just too confident and someone needs to pop him down a notch. But
well, I'm trying to pop him down a notch by, you know, challenging him to putting up a DS game of his choice on that. But so far he hasn't bid on it. So.
Yeah, he's a real wuss, even though he has those big words.
I know, when it comes to an avatar, there. Oh, if somebody wants to make an avatar or something like that, then I'm the big man. But when it comes to real merchandise, Mike.
That's really too bad, because I don't think it's November 19th. I think it's going to be – well, I shouldn't say I don't think it is. I think it could be – it's just as likely to be November 19th as it is to be any date in November.
Yeah.
I think middle November is more likely. Early November is possible. November 2nd was a possible date thrown around.
Well, I mean, the latest story is going around. Actually, tonight, rumor has it that it's either going to be November 2nd or November 12th with a price of $229.
So $229?
Take that for what it's
worth.
That's
a weird price.
Yeah, it is a weird price.
It is a weird price. And I don't know. I don't see Nintendo. I don't buy the October stuff. There's this October camp that just is trying to use facts to support their vain ambition.
Always a wrong move.
Yeah, because they're using facts, one.
Yes.
And for at all. And for the other, they're thinking that because they want it so hard that maybe it'll happen.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. October's ridiculous. Nintendo's not going to, in the middle of September, say, by the way, we're releasing Wii in 30 days. They would never do that.
I doubt it. But, who knows? I mean, at this point, I think Nintendo with the Wii has shown that, with the Wii, I just get a very different sense, you know? I mean, Nintendo has actually handled the Wii launch and the way the Wii has been presented. The whole thing has been done very well. I'm actually really surprised. I mean, I haven't been this excited for a Nintendo console launch in a long time.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you. However, the only thing that that kind of holds me back from this October idea, aside from the people who are making it up, is that it's just too crazy.
Yeah,
Nintendo is a conservative company,
mm-hmm.
So I don't see that. I don't see that as happening for those two reasons. But who knows? You're right. Stranger things have happened. Nintendo could be making their announcement in early September.
Yeah,
and so like say September 2nd or September 5th, they decide to make that announcement, and they'll say, okay, so it's late October.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing. You know, I'm going to get bitten in the butt on this one. Someone's gonna come back in 2 months and listen to this podcast and say, wow, that idiot.
Can I say that right now? Wow, that idiot.
Well, at least you got it out of the way. Preemptively, I'm going to – well, no, there's things I could call you that aren't airable. So just in case I end up being right, Lindemann, you watch it. So that's about all that we have for today. This has been your favorite podcast. At least it's my favorite podcast. It's Radio Free Nintendo. My host has been Lindemann. Thank you very much for helping out today. Mm-hmm. Appreciate it. And we're going to go ahead and end. It's been a rocky road, but the only thing is that I have to say that I'm proud that we did it at all and that we did it our way.
We persevered.
We absolutely did. So check back with us next week, and have a safe week.
Take us out, Frank.